God uses the struggles of life to bring about His purposes. God uses the struggles of life to bring about His purposes. The struggles of life, those things that we don't necessarily enjoy, the disappointments, frustrations, the relationships that hurt, the death of loved ones, the crying of babies at 3 o'clock in the morning. Those struggles. Struggles that sometimes hurt. Those are the things that God uses to change us, to mold us. He uses those struggles to get to our hearts. He uses the pain sometimes to get through to us when other things don't work. And it's through the struggles that His purposes are accomplished. Exodus 10 highlights 4 purposes that God brings about through this struggle. Now, they're not inclusive. Of course, there are other things that God brings out through struggle. But in Exodus 10, I want to highlight 4 of them. That through the struggle with Pharaoh, through this back and forth. And remember, God said last week, He says, if I wanted to, I could have ended this from the beginning. This is not a true battle. This is not a true fight. I could have wiped you and your whole country out like this if I wanted to. But no, I kept you so that the struggle may continue. Why, Lord? Why? Exodus chapter 10, verse 1. I will be reading from the New American Standard. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may perform these signs of mine among them. Moses, I've prolonged this. I've hardened his heart and his servants. Look at verse 2. And that you may tell, here it is, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and of your grandson how I made a mockery of the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. I prolong this, harden their hearts for the express purpose that you would have something to sing about and talk about for generations to come. Here's the first one. God allows the struggle so that testimonies are made and used. God allows the struggles so that testimonies are made and used. God allows the heartache, the trials and the tribulations. He allows the struggles so that when He brings you out, you now have something to say that God did in your life. Not only that, that once you get out of those struggles, once you get out of those trials and tribulations, you now have experience. Well, now you can go back and help someone else. I remember there was a guy who, I may have said this before in another context. There was a guy who, the other church I went to, who you would meet with him. His name was Joe, and you'd talk with him, and you wouldn't know anything. Didn't know anything about his past, but he shared with me that he was so distraught that the paramedics knew him on a first name basis. So much so that he was dragged off in handcuffs. And he gave me permission to use it. As a matter of fact, he used it at our old church. Handcuffed, dragged off to a psychiatric unit. And when he showed up on a psychiatric unit, they would say, "How you doing, Joe? Welcome back." They knew him. And he said, "Because I was so empty. And I was so hurting." He knew all the psych meds by heart because he had used them for years. Well, he later goes on and tell that when he understood the gospel and the Lord saved him, he said it was 6 months. He was so excited and so happy. It was 6 months, and he went into the bathroom to use his toothbrush, and when he opened it up, he said the medication fell out the medicine cabinet onto the counter and struck him. Wow! I haven't used any of the medication in months. I didn't need the Zyprexa and the Zoloft and the lithium. Didn't need it. I was so caught up in what Jesus was doing for me. I went 6 months and never took a psych med and never went back. God brought him through that. And now he can go and tell people. You want to talk about distraught? I was distraught. And he said, "James, that was 10 years ago. I'm still clean to this day." The power, the struggles that God can bring you out. And now you can have a testimony and what you can tell people. And so when someone comes up and says, "No, the Lord can't do it," there's someone in the church that can say, "I was there." Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Once alcoholic, always alcoholic. No, that's not true. The Lord saved me from alcohol. I haven't been drunk in years. That's not true. I have a testimony. And the power of God, once he brings you through the struggles, it's one thing to talk about what you heard. It's another thing to say what I've been through. And so what does God say? I'll tell you why I allow the struggles. So that in you may tell in the hearings of your sons and your grandsons how I made a mockery of the Egyptians, how I performed these signs among you, that you may know I am the Lord. God allows the struggles in my life and in your life so that testimonies are made. And you may not have Joe's testimony, but you got a testimony. I know I have mine. I'm not going to spill it this morning, but God has delivered me from some things. And I'm sure he's delivered you from some things. You now have a testimony. I will now ask that you use it. God uses the struggles of life to bring about his purposes. First, he allows the struggles so that testimonies are made and used. Look at verse 3. Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh, said to him, "Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me." Here's the second one. God allows the struggles. The first one, God allows the struggles for the testimony to be made and used. Here's the second one. God allows the struggle so that people will humble themselves before him. He allows the struggle so that people may humble themselves before him. And I would dare say even people who don't know him. Understand this. Sometimes when we go to work, there are people that we just can't stand, that are just evil, that are just, It's just their job to make our lives miserable. We can't stand it. Sometimes we may say, Lord, why do you allow this person to exist? Strike them dead, Lord, or remove them. Something, get rid of them. Lord, don't you know they're evil? And God, in his loving, gentle, humble way, sits back and says, I know they're evil. But I'm looking at the big picture. Yes, they make your life miserable, but if I struck them dead like you wanted me to, that person would have to stand before me. And they're not ready. You're asking me to damn this person to hell. No. No. Maybe, let's rethink this, James. Let's rethink this. Maybe I should give them time to repent instead of striking them. Or how about this? Maybe I put them in your lives that you may witness to them. Maybe they're making your lives miserable because I want them in your life so that you can use your testimony probably and witness to them. But too often we focus on the struggle. We focus on how they make us feel. We can get short-sighted and focus on the misery that they cause. God sees it. Pharaoh, how long? How long, Pharaoh? God has given Pharaoh. How long will you refuse to humble yourself? God allows the struggles so that people will humble themselves before him. And what's funny about those prayers is we always want God to cut off his patience with them. But when it comes to us, I'm claiming your infinite patience, Lord. God allows the struggle so that people will humble themselves before him. Look at verse 4. For if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory. One of the most famous or the most pivotal verses in all of Exodus is 12:12. I will execute judgment against the gods of Israel. This seems to be a judgment against the god of Seth, who was the god of crops. Seth was one of the most important gods of all Egypt. For you see, back then there was no refrigerators, no freezers. Marketplaces you couldn't get and then go put it in your freezer so that you can eat it 6 months later. No, in an agricultural setting, the god Seth was very important because if there were no crops, and if there was a lack of rain, that meant many people died. Their very life depended on those crops. That's why the god of Seth was so important. Where God said, okay, Seth, I'm going to bring locusts. Egyptians, call upon your god now. And many a times we look at these plagues and we go so fast we don't understand or appreciate or understand what God is doing. He's executing judgment on the false god Seth. The god who is to protect your crops. Call upon him now. Let's see who's real and who's not. Verse 5, they shall cover the surface of the land so that no one will be able to see the land. They will also eat the rest of what has escaped, what is left to you from the hill. And they will eat every tree which sprouts for you out of the field. Then your houses shall be filled, and the house, houses of all your servants, and the houses of all your Egyptians, something which neither your fathers nor your grandfathers have seen from that day, that they, from the day that they came up from the earth until this day. And here it is, and he turned, Moses, and he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Don't read that too fast. He turned and went out from Pharaoh. Back in ancient times, you never turned your back to a king. Ever. It's a sign of disrespect. That's why when you look in movies, if you like movies like I do in ancient times, when they speak to a king, when you left the presence of a king, you would bow and you would walk out this way. Have you ever seen those movies? Because you never turned your back on a king. You wait to be dismissed, but you never turn your back to a king. Ever. After Moses delivers this warning to Pharaoh, he turns and walks out. Why is that significant? Do you remember early in Exodus, there was this person that God said, I want you to do something. And this person, he began to say, but I can't speak. I'm tongue-tied. I'm not eloquent in speech. Lord, you can do whatever you want. Send somebody else. One excuse after another after another. You remember that person? Where is he? He's gone. He no longer exists. Here's the third. When God allows the struggle so that his servants may grow. Gone is the man who feared Pharaoh, who made excuses why he could not obey the Lord. Gone is the man who said, I can no longer speak. I can't speak eloquently. Gone is the man who feared man more than he feared the God of Israel. Because plague after plague, struggle after struggle, he's seen what the Lord can do. He saw and he believed. He told him from the very beginning, Moses, I will make you a God to Pharaoh. And it's through the struggles that he's seen what the Lord can do. The man was went through metamorphosis. Gone is the man of fear, who now stood before Pharaoh as a man who believed in the power of God, who's seen it. And his fear of Pharaoh is gone. Well, that's because of the struggle. That's because of the plagues. That's because God demonstrated to Moses through the struggles what he could do. And Moses came to a point to where he actually believed what God told him. I'll make you a God to Pharaoh, the most powerful man on earth. He'll bow before you. You don't go to Pharaoh's presence. He stands in your presence. So here you have Moses. He walks into the palace. He tells Pharaoh what he has to. And he turns his back on the king and he walks out. Different man. Totally different man. Because through the struggles, through the plagues, he's grown. It's through the struggles he stayed obedient. He continued to do what the Lord told him to do. And he saw the response that the Lord gave him. Victory after victory. Plague after plague. We as Christians, we have a choice. We can either grow bitter through the struggles, continue to focus on the misery. We can continue to complain about the struggles. We can continue to pray, Lord, remove the struggles. Or we can do what Moses did. simply be obedient, continue to listen to the Lord, and to continue to obey Him. And watch what He can do. God allows the struggle so that testimonies are made and used. He allows the struggle so that people will humble themselves before Him. And He allows the struggle so that His servants may grow. Look at verse 7. Pharaoh's servants said to him, Pharaoh's servants, how long will this man be a snare to us? Let the man go, that they may serve the Lord whoever he is. Do you not realize that Egypt is destroyed? So Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh. And he said to them, go serve the Lord your God. Who are the ones that are going? Uh-oh. Verse 9, Moses said, we shall go with our young and our old, sons and daughters. With our flocks, our herds, we shall go, for we must hold a feast of the Lord. Verse 10, then he said to them, thus may the Lord be with you, if ever I let you and your little ones go. In essence, now, take heed, for evil is in your mind, Moses. Not so, go now, the men among you, and serve the Lord. Just the men. And serve the Lord, for that is what you desire. That's what you want, right, Moses? So they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Once again, Pharaoh, he tries to get Moses to compromise. Look at verse 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up on the land of Egypt and eat every plant of the land, even all that the hail has left. So Moses stretched out his staff over the land of Egypt. The Lord directed an east wind on the land and all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. The locusts came up over all the land of Egypt and settled in all the territory of Egypt. They were very numerous. There had never been so many locusts, nor would there be so many again. For they covered the surface of the whole land. Again, he says, the whole land. So that the land was darkened, and they ate every plant of the land and all the fruit of the trees that the hail had left. Thus nothing green was left on tree or plant of the field of all the land of Egypt. Question, why was not the land of Goshen separated from Egypt? Answer, because they ain't going to be there much longer. He doesn't need to separate it. 16, then Pharaoh hurriedly called Moses and Aaron and said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. 17, now therefore please forgive my sin only this once. There he goes again with these false confessions. We went over this last time. Only once. This is the eighth plague. You sinned only this once? Only this once. And make supplication to the Lord your God that he would only remove this death from me. Side note, dangerous is the prayer that focuses only on your problems. Dangerous is the prayer that focuses only on your problems. Go to God in prayer and see what's behind it. Maybe God is sending you through something for a reason. But here again, Pharaoh, remove this death from me. 18, he went out from Pharaoh and made supplication to the Lord. So the Lord shifted the wind into a very strong east wind, which took up the locusts, drove them into the Red Sea. Now one locust was left in all the land, the territory of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. There he goes again. And he did not let the sons of Israel go. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky, and there would be darkness over all the land of over the land of Egypt, even a darkness which may be felt. One of the major gods of all of Egypt was the god who went by the name of Ra. He's seen in Egyptology on obelisks, pyramids, as a god in a chariot who goes across the face of the sky, and he The son they thought was Ra's chariot. Verse 22, so Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. God saying again, where is your God Ra? 23, they did not see anyone, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, but all the sons of Israel had light in their dwellings. Then Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be detained. Even your little ones may go. He's still trying to negotiate. But Moses said, you must also let us have sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice them to the Lord our God. Therefore, look at verse 26. Therefore, our livestock too shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. Pharaoh, I hear what you're saying. But not only we're going to take our goats, we're going to take all of them. Who is this man? Not a hoof shall be left behind. For we shall take some of them to serve the Lord our God. And until we arrive, we ourselves do not know with what we shall serve the Lord. No, Pharaoh, no. Here's the last one. God allows the struggle so that obedience is ingrained. God allows the struggle so that obedience is ingrained. One of the most popular tactics Satan will ever use is to try to get you to compromise on obedience. To compromise. No, if you eat the fruit, you shall not surely die. Touch it. It's okay. It'll make you wise. And Eve took the fruit. And her husband, who was with her, saw that nothing happened. He took the fruit. And then the eyes of them both opened. The rest is history. An ugly, painful history. Because people compromised on obedience. As the Lord take each and every one of us through trials and tribulations, you will have offers. You will have people who come alongside to help. And oftentimes what they will do is they will get you to compromise. Or they will offer a way out and that you compromise that which you know the Lord told you to do. And it will be presented in such a way, this is easy or easier. The Lord doesn't, he won't mind if you just straddle the fence a little bit. He won't mind if you know, it's not totally correct what I'm telling you, but you got to ease the pain. Make it a little easier on yourself. Don't be such a fanatic. Or here's whatever. Don't be so legalistic. No, it's not a matter about being legalistic. There are certain things that God is clear about. And those things that he is clear about, obedience is required. When you start to negotiate on obedience, you're in trouble. You are in big trouble. Moses says, I absolutely not. No. All livestock are coming with us. Look how it ends. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he was not willing to let them go. And Pharaoh said to him, get away from me. Beware. Do not see my face again, for in the day you see my face, you shall die. The king has spoken. But look at Moses. You're right. I should never see your face again. Who is this man who, when the king speaks, looks him back in the eye and says, you're right? It's a man who's been hardened by the struggle, who after miracle after miracle stuck to his guns and saw the Lord work, who has grown from the man who was afraid to even go in Pharaoh's presence. And now he stands toe-to-toe with him. You see my face again, you'll die. You're right, I'll never see your face again. Who is this man? It's a man who's understood that it's through the struggles, it's through the trials that growth occurs. If we're obedient, God uses the struggles of life to bring about his purposes. What are the purposes? That testimonies be made and used. That people have time to humble themselves before their God. That God allows the struggle that servants may grow. And also the struggle is given so that obedience becomes the core of who you are. Obedience is ingrained in your Christian life. And that which God says do, you do. Don't negotiate, you do. Because ultimately, it'll be better for you and me. These signs of mine. Let us close in a word of prayer.